finish talking about a cholo she'ein bo sakana last time. Shir them all on the web, I put them up. So we're going to now go to the next case. So we decided there were really, the way Rav Shechner always says it over, there are three types of cholam on Shabbos. And we'll see that that's not quite as clear as we'd like it to be. But there are three general groups of cholam on Shabbos. There's yesh bo sakana, his life is in danger. Ein bo sakana, his life is not in danger. But he's chola she'ein bo sakana, he's still sick, so we could do certain things for him, right? He could do an issur drabanan machinery, maybe the rice machinery, he could take medicine, he could do a miralakum. And a mechush ba'alma, someone who has a bad feeling, something's not so good about him, but he's not actually sick, right? So what's the status of this person? So we noted, first of all, chola she'ein bo sakana, there's a chola she'ein bo sakana, sakana's eiver, which we talked about last time, where a limb is in danger, or a limb is not going to function properly. Okay, so that's already one subcategory. So what about a mechush ba'alma? Right, mechush means like a feeling. Like just a feeling. And something's wrong. Not a chola. The point is he's not a chola, but he's also not not doing as good as he'd like to. So we'll see like what kind of things categorize a mechush ba'alma. So like a headache might be a mechush ba'alma. Right, not a migraine, a headache, you'll deal with it, you walk around, you'll deal with it, you have a headache. Someone has a cold. They're going to work, they're doing the thing, they have a cold, they're not sick in bed, right? Okay. Something like that. So, if you look at the first halacha in Shin Kaf Ches, which I don't know if you have packets, but if you look, it's the first, I mean, so the Shulchan Aruch starts with the, he starts with the mechush, and then he jumps to the chol she'ein bo sakana, and only later does he get the ein bo sakana. Yeah, it's the first page. It's the first sim. First sim. Have it? Take a look. Okay. So the first, the Shin Kaf Ches Seif Aleph. Mi sheyesh lo mechush ba'alma. Someone who has a bad feeling. V'hu mischazek v'holeich kibari. But nonetheless, he can bring himself together and walk around like a healthy person. Right, he's not incapacitated in bed, as opposed to the cholos ein bo sakana, who's nafal mishkal, who's laying in bed. Asur las oslo shum refuah. You cannot do any refuah, any medical procedures, any medicine for this person. Ve'afilu al yedei eino yehudi. Even you can't have a guy, a non-Jew, do something for him. Gezeira mishum shchitat samimanu. Right, gezeira mishum. Right, you can't do any anything medical, no therapies, no medicines whatsoever, even through a non-Jew, even through a nachri. Gzeira mishum shchikat samimanim. Shchikat samimanim. So what's shchikat samimanim? So it means you might come. So what's the issur? Why would there be an issur to take medicine on Shabbos? Right, I'm not doing anything, but we're afraid that if you take the medicine on Shabbos, you might come to, how do you make medicine? Well, you grind up your herbs. Or that's how at least you make medicine in the time of Gemara. You ground up your herbs and you turn it into medicine. And so if we allow you to take medicine on Shabbos and you don't have any, it's not available, you may come to grind up herbs on Shabbos, which is a mlacha of tofein. Right? Grinding, which is one of the 39 levels of lachos. And you may come to do an issur d'oraisa. So tofein is a d'oraisa. Right, because you may come to violate an issur d'oraisa, the Rabbanan made it gzeira, don't do X, because you may come to do Y, which is an issur d'oraisa. So, let's, this is going to be an interesting thing, because first of all, today, I don't know anyone who grinds their own medicine, although I'm sure you could find someone who does. It's not the most popular thing. So we're going to have to see, does it still apply today? First of all, what are the parameters of this? Does it still apply? And interestingly, you don't always see the source of it. The source of this halacha is kind of interesting. The Gemara doesn't like say it straight out, but it's sort of interesting to see. Okay, here. Let's see if we can make it bigger. Okay. So we're now up here. Okay. Sorry. So Tashma. So a behema, an animal, she'achaz adam, who blood grabbed hold of it. What does that mean, achaz adam? It's got some blood disease. Not good. When blood takes hold of you, meaning some bad blood thing is happening to this animal. But it's not like, the animal's not going to die. Ein ma'amidina l'savamayim. So what do? What you're not allowed to do? You're not allowed to ma'amidina l'savamayim shilte tiksara. You can't put the animals, what you would do for this person, for this animal, like has a fever or something, you'd go and give it a bath. Or you go and move the cow and put the cow in water or something so it'll cool off. Can't do that on Shabbos. Right? Okay. Adam sha'achaz adam. What about a person who has a similar disease, who blood took hold of him? So it seems like a fever or something else, right? You do put him in water to cool off, right? A person who is achaz adam can go into the water, can go into the pond, can go into whatever to cool off. So it sounds like, wait a minute, what's the problem? So this is what we're going to assume right now is not a cholos or yeshua sakana, okay? So we're assuming this is Ainbo Sakana. This is a guy, maybe even not Ainbo Sakana. He's just not feeling well. So what's the problem? I just said, if it's a Mikhash Ba'alma, you can't do any refu, you can't do any medicine whatsoever. So you have to assume that going into the bath for them was like a medicinal procedure. Why are you allowing it? So Amarula, why not? Why can you not put the animal into the water? Right? But that's the medicine, that's the therapy. You have to just put ourselves a couple of in the year about 500, where this is what this is Taiwan, you go into the bath. So Amar Ula, so Ula says, why not put the animal in the bath? Because Gezeir Nishum Shchikat Samimanim. Because you may come, if you allow it to take a bath, you may come to do other medicine, and then you may come to grind herbs and give your herbs to the animal to make the animal better. So what's the obvious question?
Why about Shchikat Samimanim by humans?
Right, animals is nice, okay, good. So if the animals, Shchikat Samimanim, fine. What about humans? So Ihafli, if so, other nami. So why is it okay to put a guy? Why can't the man take a bath? You'd say he may come to grind the herbs also. So Adam near Kamekar. He says, no, when the guy goes into the pond, it doesn't look like he's doing it for medicinal reasons. It looks like he's warm and he's cooling himself off. Right? Animals don't like baths. So the animal goes into the pond, right? There's no bath, right? There's just a pond of water or a lake, whatever. Animals don't go in for any other reason other than for medicinal purposes. A human goes in for medicinal purposes. But also goes in because he wants to cool off. So no, anyone looking will not say, oh, he's doing something medical. He might even come to think not. So he says like this. Okay? Right? So let's think about that for a minute. So let's read Rashi. So Rashi says, Zeir Mishum Shchikat Samimanim, right? Why don't we give the animal a bath? Because it's Shchikat Samimanim. The meaning of refuah, anything having to do with medicine, Gozer Rabbanan, the Rabbanan made a rule, De'ishari Shum Refuah. If you allow any medicine, Asin the Mishri Shchikat Samimanim. V'li Surah Darais Dami Kavki. If I am doing some type of medicine, I may come to do another medicine, which is, if I can do X, which is Mutar on Shabbos, I may come to do Y, which is Asar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, the man looks like he's cooling off, right? The man says, why by a human being is fine, right? We allow him to take a bath, because he only looks like he's cooling off. There's Ihafi Behemanam in your Kamekar. Maybe the animal also looks like he's cooling off. Hey, make it with the Behemanam. Animals don't do that. So Rashi says,
And they're a chagger
beimer. That's not normal. They don't do that, right?
So hilcha kuli alma yadi. Therefore, because animals don't do that, if you would do it, everyone knows that the refuah kamechaving.
That the only reason you bring your animal to the bath is to do refuah.
The osin lemishrei shchikat samevanim. So, what's Rashi saying? Rashi says, well,
if you bring your animal into the bath, which is no isser, right? No actual isser other than this one, right? There's no isser d'oraisa. Everyone will know you're doing it for refuah, for medicinal purposes, and they may come to permit shchikat samevanim. Right? So it sounds like, according to Rashi, what's the reason, Xayra? Why are you not allowed to do medical procedures, take medicine? Someone else might see me, right? Someone else might see what I'm doing. I know it's fine.
That's not just the Rashi, but it's also the Gemara.
It sounds like the Gemara also. This is how Rashi is interpreting the Gemara, right? It sounds like Rashi, then that's why that a person, right? Why can the person take the bath on Shabbos? He can take the bath because he looks like he's doing it to cool off. He doesn't look, right? An observer, someone, the bystander, isn't going to say, oh, he's doing that for medicine, and if he can do that for medicine, I can grind my herbs for medicine. The person who's looking will say, oh, he's probably just there to cool off. But for me, myself, that I'm doing it, I know that I'm doing it for medicinal purposes. So for me, myself, it's permissible, even though I'm doing it for medicinal purposes, because other people won't make that mistake. So for Rashi, it seems like the problem is that someone else might come to make that mistake. Right? So let's see the points of Rashi. So first of all, Rashi says it's all medicine. Right? Anything medical is anything medical. Right? And the concern is only when it looks like medicine. Right? So the concern is only when it looks like I'm doing something medical. If someone's looking, so it'll come down to, let's say, why, we're talking about it in a minute, but let's say someone has a cold, and they're told, okay, so they have a cold, and they're a mechel shva'alma, they're not a full CH, they can't take medicine. Right? Because can't take medicine, because medicine, taking, let's say you want to take Sudafed. The Sudafed is certainly medical, and I only take it when it looks like medicine. Everyone will see that it's medicine. So let's say someone says, yeah, but I read on the website, you can eat oranges. You can eat oranges. And it'll help with the vitamin C, it'll help your cold go away. True, untrue, irrelevant. The guy wants to eat oranges to make his cold go away. So what would you say? Can he eat his oranges to make his cold go away?
Yeah, because somebody who sees you won't assume that you're taking
it. Right? But it's medical. Right. It's still medical, so it should be awesome. No. Only when it looks like medicine. Most people, when you see someone eating an orange, you're like, oh, he's eating the orange. He's not... Most people eat oranges for normal reasons. So it doesn't look like medicine. If it doesn't look like medicine, it's not going to be a problem according to this process.
So like liquid medicines? Liquid,
it certainly pills. Looks like medicine.
Well, pills are clearly medical but if you...
It's medicine, come on. You can't compare that to eating an orange.
Right.
We'll talk about eating oranges. What are they like about vitamins and stuff? Yeah.
I mean, for sure it's like a broader question.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, like, nobody grinds stuff.
Yeah.
We have.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
I mean, I understand what the reason for it is.
The reason makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah. It doesn't apply today.
It seems like nowadays it doesn't apply whatsoever.
Right, so we'll talk about that in a second. Let's just see what it meant in the times of the Gemara, and then we'll see what it means today. So
I mean,
you're not the first person to ask this.
I guess, like, even if you, like, see, like, movies, like, from 17th, 18th century, mm-hmm. you always
right. So we're going to look at that in a second. I just want to see two other stories. Let's see what it means in the time of the Gemara. And you're mechaving l'das gedolim. A lot of the gedolim, the achron or the poskim, ask this question. They say, you know, I've never grabbed anything in my life. I wouldn't even know how to.
Nowhere
ever in any of this today's shiur is anyone's life at risk. Okay? Always. From here on, no one's life is at risk. If you think someone's life is at risk, you do everything you need.
Yeah.
Talk about someone, he has a headache, he doesn't believe it. If you have a headache and you think you have a, if you just bet you were hit by a car and then you have a headache, so maybe something's wrong. We're not talking about that guy. That guy maybe should go to the hospital and get an X-ray, get a CAT scan. We're talking about someone who there's absolutely no risk to life. We're confident, that there's no risk to life. This is the only people we're talking about.
Yeah.
You have to be confident that his life is not in danger. Okay? How do you be confident? That's a good question. But from here on, we're confident that there's nothing going on. So these are just people who are, right, the Shulchan Aruch said, Mischazek v'holich kabari. He can put himself together and walk around like a healthy person, right? He has a headache, he has a cold, but he's managing to deal with the world. There's no risk to his life whatsoever. These are the people these halachos apply to. Okay? So this is the first Gemara. This Gemara says it's clear that we don't do, right? This Gemara just pretty much says we won't do any medical procedure on Shabbos, nothing medical. And Rashi's, and the Gemara is clear, Rashi's interpreting it, seems pretty clear, only when it looks like medicine. The Gemara in Brachos talks about someone whose throat is hurting. He says, if your throat's hurting, you can't gargle oil. I don't know why they would gargle oil. Why? So Rashi says, because you're not drinking it, right? Drinking it, at least it would look like you're eating it. You're gargling it. Who does that? You only do that because it's medicine, right? Everyone who sees you is going to be like, well, that's a little bit strange. Why are you gargling oil? Well, you're gargling oil because your throat hurts. Nobody does that normally. And therefore, the Chachamim Gazru, I'll call the Refuos and Yikaros. Everything is Aser. Mishim Shchikat Samimanu Shimalacha. And it looks like, right? So this is something medical. He's gargling the oil to make his throat feel better. And it clearly looks like he's doing it for a medical procedure. No one will say, you can't compare that to eating the orange. Right? So the Shabbat, so let's see the next, let's just see one more Gemara, because this is actually relevant. And we're in the same book. Kuf Yud Aleph on Aleph, let's see inside. Here it says, that's a racial defunct, what do you think of the previous one? This is a Mishnah. The Mishnah is Hachoshesh Yushina. You have your teeth are hurting. Right? Again, not life threatening. So, Lo Yigma Bahed et Achomets. You're not supposed to use some type of you want vinegar. You shouldn't like soak your teeth in vinegar. Why not? You're doing it to help yourself, right? So, right, you're doing it to help yourself. And no one does that, right? You only do that when you're sick, right? You only do that for medicine. So it's for a medical purpose, and it looks like medicine. However, aval mitavel ukedarko. The Mishnah, says, well, there are two ways of getting vinegar into your mouth. One way is to pour it in and just hold it on your teeth like this and pour it in, right? The other way is just, you know, you dip your challah into vinegar and you eat it. That might work too. So the Mishnah says, but what you're allowed to do is eat it normally. You know, you dip your, in some fancy restaurants sometimes they give you at the beginning of the meal, you get like oil, like a little bit of olive oil. I think it's a strange thing to give you. But like whatever. You get some oil or vinegar, I guess they used to have out, and you dip your challah into it. It's like hummus. I prefer hummus to olive oil. But like you dip it into your hummus and you eat it. And if the hummus makes you feel better, it makes you feel better. But you're doing it because of medical. But why is it mutter?
Because it looks like
you're eating it normally, right? So the Mishnah here is clear, right? If you're doing it in a way, you're doing it for medical purpose. However, when you're doing it in a way that clearly looks like medicine, it's usur. You're not doing any malacha here, right? You're not actually grinding. We're never going to allow you to actually grind, right? We'll allow you to do it when it doesn't look like it's being done for medical purpose.
So you're allowed to do
anything? No. So we're going to say no. Low pluk. You're not allowed to do it, not in private, not in... No one, you know, the tradition didn't say, well, what if anyone's watching or not?
Right.
It's mutter or not mutter. Because once it's going to be... Anything that's going to be usr, in general, is going to be usr even in private. Because we're not going to allow you to make rules, well, when it's private, when it's not private, we're not going to have that happen, because otherwise you see what this is going to get out of hand. Right? So it's going to be usher all the time. However, it's only usher when it's for medical purpose and it looks like it's medicine. It doesn't look like medicine, so it's not going to be proper. Okay? So fine. So that's the isser. The isser could do anything medical. We're talking about someone who has a mechush ba'alma, right? He's not sick. Actually, he's not a chola. He's not feeling well. He's not a chola. But he wants to take he's not feeling so great. Right. So let's get to Alex's question, because it's important. So Reb Chaim Na, remember Reb Chaim Na? So Reb Chaim Na, so I said last week, on Monday, he was famous for two things. He was famous for three things. He was famous for a lot of things. He wrote a very large secret. The first thing he was famous for was how much matzah you have to eat and how much wine you have to drink. The second thing he pretty much said, Sakanas Aver. Sakanas Aver means not that you're actually, your arm's going to fall off, but it won't have the same functioning. The third thing he said, which, so most people accept that. The question is, by this, how much you have to eat matzah or not, is a machlokas between Reb Chaim Na and the Chazon Ish. And most people admit that it's a valid shita. Many people are mocking for the Chazon Ish, but they accept it as a valid shita. By Sakanas Aver, many people accept the fact that you don't actually have to lose your limb. The definition of Sakanas Aver, for which will allow you to do a malacha d'rabbanan on Shabbos without a shinui, is even when it won't have the same functioning. So this third Reb Chaim Na, he was not the... is not so well accepted. So he says like this, he goes, I don't understand. No one grinds medicine. He's living in the early 1900s. No one's grinding medicine. No. No one grinds medicine. Today, if you gave me herbs, I wouldn't even know how to grind it. There's no Tylenol herb. It's made out of a bunch of chemicals in a factory. Doesn't happen. Right? The gezeira just doesn't exist. So he says, so what do you do? So he says, you know what? I can't. It's on the books, though. We can't knock off an isser on the books. But he says it should be really a lot more kal. We should be able to permit it a lot more freely, because today, he says, no one knows how to do this. Maybe. Now he's talking like 100 years ago. 70, 80, 100 years ago. Maybe the pharmacist knows how to grind stuff up. Today, the pharmacist, at most, what they get is a powder and they're adding water to it. Right, no one's grinding. I mean, sometimes they have to mix together things, but like, that's already ground. He says, you're only doing it, so there's no reason to, there's no real reason to make it usser. So he doesn't know why it should be usser. He thinks maybe we should consider allowing it. Maybe we should say that this no longer applies. So this got a lot of feedback from a lot of rabbanim who didn't like it. Right, so he wasn't sure. So the question is, well, there are other gezeiros, right? We have a gezeira, means it's a rabbinic enactment. The point of a gezeira is a protection. Meaning we're gonna make, the rabbanim are gonna make something usher so that you don't come to do something else, right? Taking medicine is not usher in itself, but you might come to grind medicine, which is a doraisa. So how do we deal in the rest of the Torah, in the rest of Halacha, how do we deal with gezeiros who it used to make sense, and now no longer makes sense? So one of the more famous cases is the Mishnah says you can't dance on Shabbos. You can't clap and dance on Shabbos. You know why? Why does the Mishnah say you can't clap or dance on Shabbos?
Well, you could all the time.
Well, we'll see both. Yes, but the Mishnah says you can't. You do it all the time, because of what Tosfos says in the Mishnah. Because the answer to this question. You're not allowed to dance on Shabbos in Shul. Shema Yitakin Kleishir. You might come to fix a musical instrument. And fixing an instrument, making it work again, is an isser of. So Yitakin Kleishir would be a problem of Tikkun Kli.
Just like playing itself is not a problem, but.
Playing it, right? Playing the instrument's not a problem. Maybe about making noise. Noise might be an issur d'rabbanan. Doing something that makes noise on Shabbos might be an issur d'rabbanan. Leave that out for a minute. But if you have a musical instrument that's not working, right? Making it work is tikkun kli, which is what's called the makir b'patish, and that would be the right. So makir b'patish, spelled correctly. So there are 39 malachos. The last malacha is called makah b'pakish. The last malacha is striking with your hammer. So what kind of halacha is striking with your hammer, banging the wall with Hanis Fedora? What is there? It means putting the finishing touches on something. Right? This item is not finished. The shoe is not complete. It needs you to do, I don't know what you need to do, you need to attach the last two pieces. Really, attaching those two pieces, is not an Issa D'oraisa. It doesn't need nails, it doesn't need a screw, it doesn't need anything. Right? There's no Issa, if I would just put in the, let's say the pen doesn't work until I tap it, there's no Issa in putting the pen together, right? I'm assuming this, you have to stick the ink in here and then move this plastic back onto it, oh, there's capping. So putting the cap onto this pen is gonna make it work, right? Let's say. There's no issue in putting caps in things. But no, because it wasn't working before and I made it work, I finished it, that's called makir patish. That's putting the finishing touches on something, that's an issa d'oraisa. So if you have a musical instrument that's not working, so fixing it to make it work again is an issa d'oraisa of makir patish. So the Mishnah says you can't dance on Shabbos because you might come to fix a musical instrument. Now Alex says we dance on Shabbos all the time. So it's a Mishnah. So Tosfos already says, he goes, today, nobody knows how to fix musical instruments. Taz tells us nobody fixed musical instruments, not a problem, they say, because we have no idea how to fix musical instruments, nobody does this. First of all, we're not even dancing with musical instruments. That's the second reason. But he says, no one knows how to fix a musical instrument today, and so therefore, it's going to be fine. You can dance on Shabbos because we don't know how to fix musical instruments. So it's interesting, I think today people do know how to fix musical instruments, right? So the question is, if you have a guitar, I know nothing about music. But if you have a guitar, at the top of the guitar there's those, they call it something. The top of the guitar has those things that you twist. So I think that fixes the musical instrument. I don't know what that does. I think it makes the strings tighter.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the string actually ripped, you probably have to do something a little bit more fancy. I don't know if you can do it yourself. Regardless, Tosfos says we don't know how to fix musical instruments, and therefore, we can dance on Shabbos. So Chaim Noah says, and today we don't know how to make medicine by grinding, and nobody does, even musicians, right? Nobody knows how to make medicine by grinding. We don't really do this. This is done in the factory. And therefore, you should make the same rule, right? Tosfos already said, we did. I mean, Sfaradim don't, because the Machaber says not to do it anymore.
I heard more average people know how to, change the string.
So today, that's true. Back in the time of Tosfos, I don't know. But let's at least say, at least as many people in the time of Tosfos did not know how to fix musical instruments as people today don't know how to make medicine, right?
That's what I was saying.
Right, we're very parallel. They didn't know how to fix musical instruments. Today, I don't think most people know how to fix musical instruments. Let's assume, at least Tavitos was did. And today, nobody grinds medicine. Nobody even knows how to grind medicine. I don't even know what to do. So he says, that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense, right? So he says, the question is, should this be parallel? And we allow dancing. Should we allow taking medicine? So there's another principle in the Gemara. Of the Dabar Shabimindin. Means a thing done in the minion. Doesn't mean a minion of 10 people. It means that it's a Dabar is a thing, Shabimindin, it's a rabbinic enactment that was made by a group, right? A group of rabbinim got together and made this rule. It's not like some rabbi in Shul said, we just don't do this. All the rabbis got together and made such a rule. So if we have a Dabar Shabimindin, something that the rabbis made a ruling on, all together, they got together and made a ruling. You need a davar shebe minyan, we say tsarech minyan achar lahatiro, and now we want to change it. It doesn't apply anymore. You need to have a new minyan, you need to have all the rabbanim come together to change the rule. And it has to be, the second group has to be at least as great as the first group. At least, certainly both in terms of number and in terms of just being tankachim. They have to be both scholarly and numerous. Okay, so you have a davar shebe minyan. So, okay, so you tell me that the prohibition of taking medicines was made as a davar shebe minyan, as a group. Today, we would need another minyan lahatiro. You'd need another group to permit it, and that's not going to happen. You'll never get all the rabbis to agree on anything nowadays, let alone to sit in the room together. That's not going to happen. So, practically, that's not going to work, right? Davar shebe minyan, sarif minyan achar lahatiro. If we assume that the prohibition of taking medications was a davar shebe minyan, and it sounds like it, it seems like it was accepted in the Mishnah, it was accepted in the Gemara, the Mishnah assumes it to be correct, the Gemara assumes it to be correct, you're going to need a new group of all the rabbis getting together to permit it, and they're going to have to be at least b'chachmo b'minyan in scholarship and in numbers as great as the previous one, not going to happen. So the question is, but what about the dancing? also a Mishnah. Other things, the there are a lot of Xeris Rabbanim like this that are Dover Shavu Meir. This is one example. So many happen this year. There's another Xeris Rabbanim. A lot of, so now we're going to, the Rishonim are now going to try to go through different Xeris Rabbanim and see what, try to push the limits. So the Gemara says in one place, so when you want to put tzitzis on your garment, you have a four-cornered garment, right? So you're supposed to put tzitzis. So tzitzis can be made of either, the Gemara assumes the tzitzis can be made of either wool strings, linen strings, or strings that are made of the same material as the baguette itself, as the garment that you're wearing. So it's cotton, but if it's a cotton tzitzis, like a baguette, a cotton garment, you can put cotton strings on it. You could always put wool and linen strings, okay? So, in the time of the Gemara, before the time of the Gemara, times of the Tanakh, so you had trelis, so maybe we're trelis. Also, I have to wear trelis, Jeff, I think you should wear trelis. So, a blue string. The Torah says you have to have a blue string. Now, that blue string had to be made of wool. It had to be made of wool, it doesn't matter what, right? You can put wool strings on any baguette, right? You put wool strings on any garment whatsoever, that'll be also a mitzvah. So you have to have a wool, at least one wool string. So the problem is, so what if you have a linen baguette, right? Mixing, having one garment with wool and linen together is shatnez. So can you do that? No. So the Gemara is clear, yes. Shatnez is an exception by tzitzis. Tzitzis pushes away shatnez. Okay? Tzitzis pushes away shatnez. And you can wear wool strings on a linen garment because asay del chalos asay, the positive mitzvah pushes off the negative mitzvah of shatnez, and you can put your wool tzitzis on a linen baguette. Right? So the concern was, okay, but if that's true, it's only when you're performing the mitzvah. Right? It's only when you're doing the mitzvah. If you're putting chalos on that baguette, right? So we're concerned that maybe, so okay, so if you're doing the mitzvah, so you're doing a positive mitzvah. So long as you're doing a positive mitzvah, the prohibition doesn't apply. So what about if you're wearing tzitzis at night? Technically not. So if you're wearing tzitzis at night, can you have shatnez on your tzitzis? No. It's questionable, right? Because you're not technically fulfilling the mitzvah. So only when you fulfill the mitzvah can you have shatnez. So let's say by the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash wore four different garments, right? The four garments they wore, a long shirt, pants, a hat, and a belt. The belt had shatnez in it. It's like a fat belt that's supposed to wrap around themselves. It had shatnez in it. So the Gemara says, so why was that okay? Because they're doing the mitzvah of working the Beis HaMikdash. So the positive mitzvah of working the Beis HaMikdash pushes off the prohibition of wearing shatnez. The Gemara says, but that's only when they're working in the Beis HaMikdash. If you just hang it around, you have to take it off.
So is there you may
No, that's not exactly. Meaning the permission to wear shatnez is only when you're doing the mitzvah.
Right.
It's not
exactly. No, I know, but
so when you're not doing the mitzvah, you're not allowed to wear shatnez. It's not exactly. This is our answer. When you're not doing the mitzvah, you're stuck with the prohibition. The prohibition is there. You say, oh, but I'm doing the mitzvah pushes off the prohibition. When you're not doing the mitzvah, you're not working the mitzvah. You know, 300 Kohanim showed up today, so we're all standing around. We're sort of waiting for our job. There's no, we're not going to start working until 1 o'clock. You can't wear the shatnez until then, right? You can only wear it once you're doing the work. So they made a rule, midrabanan, not to wear, by tzitzis, not to wear a linen baguette, not to wear a linen garment, because of the shilas with the chalas has to be wool, and you'll put it on, and maybe the baguette won't be right, and maybe it'll be the night time, and maybe you'll put on the wrong baguette, and then it'll really be shatnez, right? So we don't wear a linen baguette, because maybe, even though shatnez is permitted, and in theory you could, you should put the chalas and other wool strings on your linen baguette, and the positive mitzvah of the tzitzis is going to push off the negative prohibition of the shatnez. Nonetheless, we made it zero because maybe, because of other reasons, we're concerned that you'll have this on when it's not a mitzvah and you'll violate prohibition.
Right, that's what I meant when I said zero.
That's the zero. So the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, says, well, today we have the chalas. So we should allow you to wear a linen baguette. Right? Because you can just wear linen strings. Right? Because even if you put linen strings, the trellis has to be wool. So you have to put at least one wool string. So, but today we have no, right? The trellis has to be wool. So even you can always make the strings from the same material as the baguette. So you can make linen strings for the 7 or the 6 or whatever, however many white strings you think you need. For the white strings, you can use linen. But for the trellis, you have to use wool. And so that's where the concern is, but maybe it'll be at night, maybe it'll be when you don't need it, maybe it'll be on all sorts of things. So they made a gzeir. So it says the gzeir today shouldn't apply, there's no more trellis. But isn't it a davar shebeminyan? It's a davar shebeminyan, they got together and made a ruling. So the Rosh said... No, this was... So the Rosh assumes no. The Rosh assumes that this is something that they got together and made a ruling on. They all decided, not that the rabbis got together and decided this is going to be usher.
But the Bar Shabbat Minyan is in opposition to something. Like, what would be the other way that something happened, just like over time, people just developed...
It's a minig. It could be that certain types of things... There was a practice that they did.
Right.
The rabbis didn't actually sit down and agree to it, but it was a practice that developed, and that became the minig. Like in certain, the Mishnah says, Makom Shenagul on Erev Pesach. So some places had the minig, you do work on Erev Pesach. Some places have the minig, you don't work on Erev Pesach. So the place that had a minig, you don't work on, it was the minig, they just didn't work on Erev Pesach. But they never, no one sat there and said it's prohibited. So in that place, it becomes prohibited because of the minig. But it's a different type of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So the Rosh says, he says, yay, but wait a minute. That's if the rabbis got together and made a rule. Here, not only did they get together and make a rule, they told us why the rule is there. They said, well, don't. They didn't say just don't wear a linen beged. They said, don't wear a linen beged because you make up the problems with shatnez with chelis. He said, when they give you the reason, and the reason no longer applies, then the rule also no longer applies.
Really? Because that's, wow, very interesting. Never thought about, like, because we always think that, like, tradition should, like, isn't change because there's a chashash,
it's all
like, you know, but...
So the Rosh seems to think, at least by, he's only talking about, well, can you wear a linen beged for your tzitzis?
Right.
He said, well, if the Rabbanim, when the Dabar Sevevinian, they got together and they said, well, this is the reason why it's usher. And that reason no longer applies, it should be mutter. And the Radvaz says the same thing. They said, look, they made the rule because of this. So this is the Rosh. The Rosh says, when the reason is given, it can change. Right? The Radvaz says the same thing. The Radvaz says, sometimes in the Gemara we say, batla atam lo batla takana. Even though the reasoning for the rule no longer applies, the rule still applies. So the Radvaz says, yeah, but that's only when they made a rule in general. They didn't actually, didn't tell you why. They made a rule, and we think we know why, and we think that the rule doesn't apply. But when they told you the specific reason why, so then it should be mutter to do it. So by musical instruments also, they told you, because we know how to fix, it's because you might have to fix a musical instrument, and we don't know how to fix musical instruments, so today it should be mutter. So there's a Tshuvas Kielis Yaakov of Karlin, he says, therefore medicine should be permissible, right? So some people say based on this, right? If when they made the rule, they told us the reason, and today the reason doesn't apply, so medicine also. Medicine, they told you. So we think we know the rule by medicine, right? They said, the Gemara says, right? And the Shabbos didn't give them a base. That why can't you take medicine? Because you might come to grind. And they told you that's the reason that the rule was there. So when the reason no longer applies, the rule should no longer apply. Because the Isser was said, it was when they made the enactment, they said, because of this reason. Okay. So it makes a lot of sense. However, no one's really going to promote medicine until Shabbos in the end. So why? This made a lot of sense, right? So why not? So once we know, right, if we're going to assume that, so let's write reasons to permit it. Was the Gzeir as a reason. But no longer applies. And the Rosh says that when it was given, when the rabbinic enactment was made with the reason, then when the reason doesn't apply, no. But Tshuva Zera Emet gives a different answer. He says, whenever there's a rabbinic enactment to protect something else, even if the reason's not given, if that which we're protecting doesn't exist anymore, so then it doesn't matter. Right? the gezeira is to protect from an iser d'oraisa. So he says, I'm sorry. So he says, this does not need another dominion. This is the only time you need a minyan, a new minyan, a new gathering of the rabbis to permit it, is when the previous prohibition was something that's prohibited because this is bad and we want you not to do this. Not because we're saying don't do X because you might come to do Y. If we're saying don't do X and you might come to do Y, we don't need a new rabbinic enactment to permit it. When that no longer applies, it just passes and it passes away with time. But if it was coming to say don't do this because we don't want you to do this, then you would need a new rabbinic enactment. So let's say, why are we not going to do this? Nobody is going to allow us to take medicine on Shabbos. Nobody. In your time, no. So why not? So Chaim says, yeah, maybe, there are some people in the world who still know how to do this. And if there are some people who still know how to do this, the reason makes sense. Right? So if some people in the world still grind medication, it makes sense to be prohibited. You can't tell me nobody knows how to do it. Somebody knows how to do it, and you might come to make an answer.
How do they mean, like, people in, like, a pharmacy know how to do it? Or he means, like, people in some place in the world, you know, like...
If you go to Chinatown, they'll do it for you.
It's not that powerful, yeah.
They make you all sorts of funny things.
That's true.
So somebody may still know how to grind, right? How to... So it's not crazy. Somebody may still know how to do it, you're right. None of us do. But someone out there does, and if you're in Chinatown, you may come to ask him, that's Nisuv. So he's not Jewish. So, okay. But he may teach you how to do it, and you might come to do it yourself. Someone knows. Don't tell me it's completely gone. It's a little bit difficult. Nobody knows how to fix music. So what do you say to Tosfos with the musical instruments? Nobody knows how to fix musical instruments. Well, musical instruments are getting fixed, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, all my friends have taken.
No, so today, but even at time of Tosfos, even today there was no guitar. I don't think there were guitars though. Maybe there were. I don't know. But even in the time of Tosfos, what happened when the musical instrument broke? You threw it out. Nobody in the planet knew how to fix it. Somebody must know how to fix it, but it just wasn't common knowledge. So it's hard to know why this. If this is not, it's not common knowledge. I think there are fewer people today who know how to grind medicine than there were people in the time of Tosfos who know how to fix musical instruments.
I think it also has to do with just like the world changed so much in between then and now today, you have to just go online in order to have like a tutorial about how to do something. And like back then, you were in an isolated community of.
Right, so you have to realize he's writing well before that, but still, he's writing in the early 1900s. He's still concerned, even before. But you're right, because today you could actually probably go on the YouTube video and like,
yeah,
how to grind medicine, and I'm sure in 2 seconds,
yeah,
I can find many, many videos of teaching how to grind medicine in a plethora of languages.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one reason. So the Torah's Chesed says another reason. It says, how do you know that was the only reason? Maybe Chazal had other reasons in mind. We said, had other reasons in mind. We said that the reason that we shouldn't take medicine is because you might come to grind. And you're right, that doesn't apply. Maybe they thought there were other reasons also and they didn't tell you. How do you know that those reasons, which they didn't bother telling you, still don't apply?
Because that logic was only for zeros that they actually told us the reason.
So yeah, but maybe they had other reasons also. You don't know. How do you know? So I don't know. I thought the Gemara would have told me if they had another reason. The Gemara told me one reason, why the Gemara told me the other reason. They didn't need to tell you that was the one that was relevant in their time. Maybe they had 150 reasons. The most practical one, especially the time of the Talmud, was you might come to grind. And so, okay, that's why I told you that one. Today, that doesn't apply. The other 149 still apply. How do you know? Okay. It's hard to know what you do with that. It's hard to know what to do with that.
That kind of logic can be applied to basically anything. So.
Yeah. So it's hard to know. Practically, almost everyone says it's usher.
Right.
So we have to remember, we're talking about someone with a mechush ba'alma. right? It's a meichus bal. We're not talking about sick people. We're talking about people who aren't even considered to be a chol. So some rabbanim are okay being a little bit strict here because it's not really about health. If it was really about health, then we'd have something to talk about. This isn't even really about health. The guy's a headache. He's not feeling so good. But really, 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 his health isn't in any danger. So some poskim allow this. It's a very compelling reason. But we say, no, it's still us. It's still going to be us, sir. So why is it going to be us? So just so we should know that the Be'er Moshe, I've never seen the row from Brooklyn, so the Be'er Moshe is not known for being lenient. The Be'er Moshe has several tshuvas. One of his tshuvas is you can't learn NYU. One of his tshuvas is you can't open any books from the Moshe Rav Kook, because he doesn't accept their hashkafa, and therefore all their books are bad. And he's not known to be lenient. He quotes, Shehagon HaMuvok, Morah HaRoh Yochid Mumchid. Right? This is a big guy. Rabbi Yonason Steif used to live in Brooklyn. He came from Europe. A big, big, big paisik. Hidder b'pshistos livloa kaduri aspirin b'shabbos l'mishi yesh l'mechushkal. He allowed people to take aspirin on Shabbos for aches and pains. So, Rabbi Yonason Steif said it was mutter. So we can't say nobody. Rabbi Yonason Steif said it's mutter. And he's not nobody. You can't dismiss him easily. Okay? And he never wrote it down, but that was the... I don't think anyone disagrees with it. I don't think he is... anyone disagrees with it. So he allowed it. So we'll talk about aspirin separately, because aspirin... A lot of people take aspirin. Well, not anymore. Let's say 5 years ago. A lot of people take aspirin. Pretty much everyone over the age of 65 takes a baby aspirin, right? Right? Because it prevents heart attacks. So maybe if you're taking a baby aspirin, are you sure that it looks like you're taking medicine? A lot of people take aspirin. Healthy people take aspirin. So maybe. But back when Yosef Steif was passing this halacha, this was not accepted. Not every, you have to remember, aspirin, some people today might say, well, you take aspirin every day for your heart to prevent heart attacks, to prevent clotting, and so many people do that, maybe it's no longer, yes, it's medical, but it doesn't look like medicine. Everyone does this every day. Millions and millions of healthy people take aspirin every day. We'll talk about it. Don't take aspirin. Right? You're too young. But we'll talk about aspirin in a minute. And why that... Well, not in a minute. We'll just talk about it maybe next time. And why that changed. But, so many, many people take it today anyway, when they're healthy. So some folks can say, oh, so taking it on Shabbos doesn't look like medicine. It just looks like you're taking it normally. When Rav Yonason Steif was writing... So you can't read that into Rav Yonason Steif. When Rav Yonason Steif said it was mutter, he was not talking about a time when everyone was taking it. He thought that it was mutter because of... So we got some on them. The reason doesn't apply, and therefore we should allow it. Practically, halacha lemaise, the Nishmas of Rem, Dr. Abraham, most posts can prohibit it. Rav Avadi Yosef says some people permit it. And if someone's really, really, really uncomfortable, we'll allow it. And he says, and you know what? If you ever have a case where I'm not sure if he's a mechosh ba'alma or a cholosh angel sakana, right, something is hard to tell. They're not clearly defined categories. Mechosh ba'alma, if someone has a cholosh angel sakana, you can take medicine. A mechosh ba'alma not. So he says, if you're not sure, then certainly you take medicine. Right? The issue is not that great. If you're not sure if a person has a cholosh angel sakana, you can certainly take medicine. You wouldn't be able to do a mirror l'nafri. You wouldn't be able to do a dor. You couldn't do a shavus alidei yisrael b'shinui. But you could certainly take medicine on Shabbos. And just one last thing, Tzitz Eliezer says, because look, it's us. But I understand all the reasons that should be mutter. And therefore, if you come up with any other reason to permit taking the medicine on Shabbos, even if that reason wouldn't be good enough to permit anything else, that's not the best reason. But together with the fact that it really doesn't apply today, we'll be able. So we'll start again with the Tzitz Eliezer on Monday. And I think we just have a quiz. When's the next quiz? Do we know? Is it next Wednesday?
Yes.
Today is the
21st.
21st. It's 22nd. Yeah, we're Wednesday. So we're having a quiz next. No. 21st. Sorry, because today is... March. So we'll have a quiz next Wednesday, and then we'll give it back the last Monday, and that's the last day before Pesach. Okay. Excellent. All right.
Thank you.